Good morning. Well, today is a special Sunday. Today is Celebrate Recovery Sunday, or CR Sunday. It's special because this is the Sunday before we launched the brand new ministry here at Leander Church of Celebrate Recovery. So when you hear me this morning talking about Celebrate Recovery, I'll often use the acronym CR. Celebrate Recovery. And so when I say CR, I'm talking about this new ministry. And so it's a really exciting time for our church. So many of you, thank you so much for all of those who have put in so much work, so much time, and so much effort to help OR and I launch this brand new ministry. I've got some sad news. OR and I were supposed to be tag team preaching this morning, and as you see, I'm the only one standing up here. OR is sick, and so he could not make it this morning, and so Satan is doing, this is what I believe, everything he can to say, don't start that ministry, because I know great things are going to happen, but we are here to say this morning, there is no way we will not launch. Even though OR is sick the week before, God is going to prepare everything, and we are trusting him that great things will happen, and we are still excited, even though things don't always happen on the timetable or according to the plan that we have. And it was certainly not our plan for him to miss this morning. He really wanted to be here. So he is watching online, and so everybody turn around at the camera and give OR and Brenda a big wave this morning, and everybody say, we love you. And we really do, OR. So this is for you, bro. I wish you were here with me right now. So with that in mind, I want to start with this. What is Celebrate Recovery? we've talked a lot about it, but I'm sure some of you out there are going, okay, wait, I've heard about it. I know it's with broken people. I get that. But I still am not really sure what it is. I don't know if you knew this about me, but I'm going to let you in. I mean, I've been here for over 2 years now, so I feel like we're really pretty close. I feel close to you. And so it's time for me to share with you something about myself that you may not have known. I have a broken finger. I don't know if you knew that, and this is hard for me to share. It's so embarrassing, because when I give high fives, I can't unbend that finger any more than that. And when I give fist bumps, all my fingers bend except for that one, and it sticks out like that. And for years, people growing up, this happened to me back in high school, and people would ask me what happened, and I was always really embarrassed to tell them because the story was just so simple. And so I would fabricate ways to make it sound better. I know it was terrible. I was ziplining in the jungle and my finger got caught in the zipline, or I was rock climbing at this really awesome place, and as I was, and the truth is somebody fell on me when we were playing basketball, and not as cool of a story, but that's what happened, and my finger was broken. And so at first we just thought it might be dislocated, found out it's definitely broken. We go in and I get some x-rays done, and what I realize is that my knuckle is completely shattered. And so we can't just have a normal surgeon look at my finger. We have to go to a hand specialist. Didn't even know those existed. Hand specialist who does all surgeries for hands. That's what he does. And it was not good. The day that the hand surgeon came out to me and said, this is the worst I've ever seen a knuckle shattered. And I said, that's a problem. He said, but we're going to do everything we can to make this better. He said, it might get a little stiff on you. He was right about that. He showed me the x-ray, and he said, you see these little white flecks? And like they were like little, it looks like dust particles on the screen. He said, that's all little pieces of bone. And they were everywhere on this x-ray, and they were all throughout my finger. And so he said, we're going to do the best we can. So they operated, and what they did is I had a sever. There was a major break throughout my finger. It was literally completely broken in half. There were two pieces of my finger that were no longer connected. But the knuckle was also shattered, and that was the little flakes that you would see. So there was a lot of work that needed to be done. And so they went in and they put a screw to hold the two broken pieces together. And so there is a screw permanently in my knuckle that's holding together those two broken pieces. But what they would also did is, and it was pretty graphic, right? It was, they had a pin that was sticking out of my finger on each side. And that pin was there that was holding my finger together. And it was the coolest thing when you were in high school. I know some of you are grossed out, but you know, I was like the man of all men for like 3 weeks. You know what I'm saying? You know, like, hey, ladies, you want me to impress you? Look at this. And they'd go, oh, you know, and I was like, yeah. And it was just a wonderful thing. You know, we glory in our pain, men. You know, we're proud of it. You seen the Andy Griffith episode where Opie gets a black eye? Some of you are with me, and he doesn't want to put the ice to bring down the swelling because he wants to keep the black eye because he wants to glory in his pain. What's up with people like that? You know what I'm saying? Like, who does that? Well, that's what Celebrate Recovery is. It's a bunch of people who are those kind of people. They glory in their pain. They glory in their brokenness. So, as I got through this surgery, I'm able now to look back and to think about that screw and that pin that were in my finger, the screw that's still there, and it was literally holding my brokenness together. Now, you have to know, you and I, we're all broken. And there's no one in here that gets to escape that. Scripture tells us that we've all been sinful. We've all fallen short. If we deny ourselves of that, the truth isn't in us. We are broken people. And we like to come to church and act as if we're not broken. But the reality is every one of you in these pews, every one of you under the sound of my voice, and believe it or not, the one standing on the stage, although albeit less broken than you. No, we're all broken. We're all broken. Celebrate Recovery is not the screw that will hold your brokenness together. I'm excited about the ministry, but I'm not going to overblow the ministry. This ministry will not heal you. Sorry. If you were thinking, okay, I'm going to go to Celebrate Recovery and all my problems are going to be fixed, the answer is that's not true. CR is not a screw that can hold your brokenness together. CR is the ambulance that gets you to the hospital, to get you to Jesus, who is the screw that can hold together your brokenness. It is a vehicle that we will use. There are many vehicles that we use. So before you understand, some people might go, well, Celebrate Recovery, why are we acting like it's such a thing that I can only be healed if I go to CR? It's not true. There are other ways that you can find healing and find Jesus and the one who can hold your brokenness together. But CR is a place where we glory in what Jesus is doing through our brokenness. CR is a place of a community of people who all are together to pull the mask off of their face, to pull down the veil, to be transparent and say, here I am, and here's what I struggle with, and I'm not alone because you're here too, and I need Jesus, and he's the screw that's holding me together. And in order for that to happen, in order for us to glory in our brokenness, we first have to reveal our brokenness. And that's what Celebrate Recovery is all about. And folks, we're people who have the privilege, because of Jesus, the one who holds us together, to glory in our brokenness. We get to celebrate our weakness because of what Jesus has done. And I think that is a wonderful, wonderful thing. OR wanted to be here. He wanted to be here to tell you a story about his minister, of the church that he came from, where he started the Celebrate Recovery ministry for that church. And so he wanted to share with you a story of that preacher. His name is Danny. Guys, we're about to play that video here in just a second. Danny is the preacher who was there. So OR was going to share that with you, but since he wasn't here, Satan, you missed out. You thought you were going to stop it. Instead, we did one better, and we've got a video of Danny to tell you his story about Celebrate Recovery. Let's listen to him now.
Hi, my name is Danny Campbell. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and I struggle with overeating and codependency, and I've been attending Celebrate Recovery for the last 7 years. Orr Leslie introduced me to the program when I was the minister at the Southwest Church of Christ, where he and I both attended. I fell in love with the program almost immediately. I love the honesty about it. I love the way we are challenged to tell the truth about our struggles, about our hurts, about our habits, about our hang-ups, and above all, how we encourage one another to take on those habits and overcome them with the power of God. I have seen what I would like to call slow motion miracles happen over and over and over again through Celebrate Recovery. The one that's most personal to me has to do with my daughter Madison and her husband Dale. They've been married 10 years, and without any doubt in my mind, I do not believe they would still be married had they not gotten involved in Celebrate Recovery. And I believe they would tell you the same thing. My son-in-law had a lot of hurts based on a troubled and dysfunctional childhood. And because of the honesty that took place in the rooms where the men were sharing their struggles, he realized that he was not alone. And that was really the main thing that he needed to discover, is that he was the only man that had troubles. He began to work on himself. He began to share even more. He began to share more and more and more. He finally took me aside one day, the father-in-law, and confessed to me all of his sins. And then he went to Mom, my wife, Kimberly, the mother-in-law, and did the same thing. Dale has been redeemed. Madison has been redeemed. Their marriage has been redeemed. And once their redemption took place, they began to thrive. First as foster parents, then as house parents in children's homes. And in the beginning of August this year, Dale will begin his first tenure as a minister of the gospel in a small church in Delaware. I'm so proud of both of them. And I know that it would not have happened were it not for Celebrate Recovery. Thank you for letting me share.
It's pretty amazing, isn't it? God is good. So let me ask you a question. Not only the question we started with, what is Celebrate Recovery, but what is recovery? You know? What does that mean? Because if when we define recovery, that's who the Celebrate Recovery ministry is for. Those who are celebrating their recovery. Well, what is recovery? Right? Because there are different definitions of recovery. Well, we use the word recovery not just in a biblical language, in a religious language, but recovery is used in many different areas. And so I think by looking at the definitions of recovery in other areas, we'll find something really interesting. This is part of what OR wanted to share with you, so I'm stealing OR's material here. But I'm doing this now. So just imagine as I'm standing here, you hear OR speaking. I'm using his voice. So I've got a goatee. Here's the 8 different types of recovery. Listen to this. I think this is interesting. In the medical field, the definition of recovery in the medical field is this: the restoration of health. I love that one. We're all broken and we're all damaged and we're all in need of being bandaged, right? And so in the medical field, restoration is the restoration of health. In the economic world, recovery is the revival of growth and productivity. The revival of growth and productivity. You know, and I think we all need that at times, because what happens in life through our broken situations, sometimes we're just stale and stagnant, and sometimes it's of our own fault. It's because I've been addicted to things I shouldn't have or participated in things I shouldn't have, so I'm in a situation of brokenness because I did it. I caused it. But a lot of times, we're needing to revive our growth and productivity because we're in the middle of a broken situation that we need recovery from that we didn't cause. It's not because I sinned or something. It's just because brokenness surrounds me. But recovery definition in the economic world covers that too. Listen to this one with art. In the art world, recovery is the reclamation of work or art. The reclamation of a work of art stolen or lost, restoring it to be a masterpiece. This one's a little too easy, isn't it? I mean, literally, we are God's workmanship, and we are, Scripture says, His masterpiece. And so celebrate recovery. Why are we needing recovery? To be made back into His image, to be restored once again into His masterpiece. What Satan has stolen through sin and through evil and through darkness, God is here to reclaim in our lives what was stolen. In the computer or technology world, recovery is the retrieval of damaged or disabled files which are inaccessible. You know, and look, our addictions and our sins and our hurts, habits and hang-ups, that's the phrase CR people will use all the time. You heard it already on our video. You'll hear it in just a second. Hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Because we all have hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And we might not have, right now, I might be in a season where I'm just experiencing hurt. And you can hurt whether it's your fault or not. Sometimes it's because I'm in a habit or I've got a hang-up, right? Hurts, habits, and hang-ups. We've all got them, and that's the language you'll hear all of the time through Celebrate Recovery, dealing with our hurts, habits, and hang-ups because our addiction's disabled. But recovery is all about the retrieval of those damaged or disabled files. In the legal terms, it's the return of the rightful owner to the stolen material. Taken back from Satan what he has taken from us. In military, I love this one. It's the recovery of a prisoner who is in enemy control. That's what recovery is all about. Pulling people who are in the control of the enemy and bringing them back. Don't you have some people in your life that have been taken by the enemy? Some loved ones in your life who you would consider behind the enemy lines? Recovery is all about going and bringing them back home. Recycling. In the recycling world, recovery, here's the definition. The saving of something that has been disposed of but has value. I love that one. You know, I think of Mary, where you at? Cindy, where you at? Yeah, I'm pointing you out. You don't want to be pointed out, but I'm pointing you out anyway. I don't know, is Cindy here? She's not here. She escaped, so it's only Mary. Sorry, Mary, to point you out. They come in, and they go dumpster diving. Now, what they mean by dumpster diving is it's exactly what it sounds. They jump into dumpsters, and they wallow in filth, right? No. Sorry, I had to go there. They go, and they find things on the side of the road that people have put out of their house that they say, I don't want this anymore, and so they'll set it out. And Mary and Cindy, like, this has become a hobby of theirs. And by the way, it's more than a hobby because they've helped me out in my office, getting me some things for our office. There's things in my house. Somebody will come into our house and say, hey, where'd you get that? Oh, well, you wouldn't believe this, but there's a couple of women at our church who go out and they dumpster dive, and they found this. I've got a clock in my office that's hanging in my office right now. And it had a price tag of $100 on it. And Cindy and Mary somehow found that while they were dumpster diving and said, this would look perfect on your office. Said, thank you, you know. They go out and they take what others don't see value in and they say, no, this is valuable, and they bring it back. Recovery. And the last is biblical because it is also a biblical definition. In the Bible, recovery is reinstating your purpose of your life. And folks, that was me. It's still me, where I'm trying to relearn and refine my purpose because so many times in my life I've pulled away from the purpose that God has for me. But I am so thankful for the definition of recovery in my walk with Christ. Aren't you? And so recovery is a powerful thing. I want you to hear of a friend of mine. You heard of OR's minister. I want you to, for a second, this video is just a bit longer. I want you to hear of a friend of mine. His name is David Owen, a good buddy who attended White's Ferry Road with us. And there is a Celebrate Recovery that is at that church. And he's the kind of guy who looked at himself, and I'll just put it this way. When he heard that Celebrate Recovery was starting, he was the one who said, "Oh, well, I don't need that." Listen to his story. This is David Owen's story.
Good morning. I am a believer in Jesus Christ. I struggle with control, anger, and the sin of independence. My name's David. I'm a very fortunate man, the fact that I got to grow up in the church and got a great foundation to build my faith on. But saying that, fortunate, but also confused. Confused because the church I grew up in didn't have much room for broken people. Broken people were not there, or, well, let's face it, they were there. Nobody just knew they were there because we hid our brokenness. That's the church I grew up in. And don't get me wrong, I love the fact that I got that foundation in my life and my parents gave me the love of Jesus. I mean, I've never gone a day in my life that I didn't know Jesus loved me. But saying that, there was a lot of things that happened in my life. You know, I turned into a teenager. I thought, hey, these people never do anything wrong. I can never measure up to that. So I spent a lot of my life trying to perform good enough, to be good enough, to just, you know, do it all David's way to make God happy, because I thought God was this judgmental guy that was like saying, you're never going to be good enough. I don't know why you're trying. I just didn't think I could measure up because I knew me. Well, you know, years ago, I've gone through all this. I led house churches, led men's groups, did all kinds of good things. And a lot of people were blessed because of that. But still, during that time, there was a lot of emptiness in my heart. There was a lot of, let me perform good enough and then I'll be there. Well, that didn't work so good. And I'm sure a lot of you know that. Because when you try to perform good enough for God, it's never going to happen because He's already good enough for all of us. Well, about, 20 years ago, it depends on who you ask around here, CR came to town. Mac and Mary, my brother and sister-in-law, went to California to some church called Saddleback to find out about this ministry called Celebrate Recovery. Well, they came back all excited. Well, they were all fired up about it, and they asked a lot of people from church here to come out to their house for a deal, and just like, cool, yeah, we'll go. I'll go to support those people. Well, by going to support those people, I didn't know how much my life would eventually change. But it took a while. I went to, when Step Studies first started, I really kind of was confused because I don't remember signing up, but because after all, I didn't need that. I was leading house churches. I was doing all kinds of good things for God, right? But I was broken. I found out just how broken when I went through the Step Studies with a guy named Tommy Lacoste. He was an old drunk. He was a convict. He spent a lot of his time in jail. But he convicted me that I never really knew how to trust God, and I never really trusted God. Well, from that point on, my life kind of changed, but I went to CR, and I started going every Friday night. Matter of fact, at White's Ferry Road CR, I probably have the best attendance record of anybody on Friday night. Back to my performance issues, probably. But still, saying that, I've been here because I love it, because I've seen broken people. I found a place where I could be broken, where I could tell people I struggled with anger, where I could tell people that, you know, I don't have this figured out, and a lot of days I just blow it because I'm angry, I'm frustrated, and I'm trying to do it all my way and not trusting God. Well, that being said, I remember one night just as plain as day. It was a night I was leading the anger group. I still lead the anger group. I may never get healed. God may never take that thorn from my flesh. But anyway, I was leading the anger group, and this guy comes up and says, "Mr. David, they told me I needed to come to your group tonight." Just so happens that same time, my now 7-year-old grandson was in ICU in New Orleans, and he was fighting for his life. And I shared some of that in group. And sharing that in group, this guy came up to me after group and said, "I don't know how you do things around here, but I need to pray for you." And that prayer, I'm convinced with all my heart, changed the life of my now 7-year-old grandson. because that prayer made the hair on the back of my neck stand up. That prayer was a prayer from a place I didn't know existed, because it was from a place of being rescued. It was from a desperate place. And you can't pray that kind of prayer unless you've been to a desperate place. The same thing happens on Friday night here at White's Ferry Road. The worship, it's incredible. You'll never find better worship anywhere. I don't care how many people there are or who there are, but they're worshiping from a place that I don't know about, because I have not experienced what they do. But in saying all that, I have been blessed to now call them friends. Most of my friends now are convicts and drug addicts, but that's okay, because they're real. They're real people with real struggles, and they're broken. And they've helped me experience my brokenness and helped me learn how to give that brokenness to Jesus. Celebrate Recovery is not a perfect program. It's a program that's got a lot of challenges. It's a program where you get your heart ripped out a lot of times, because people you think are doing so good end up relapsing and they're not here anymore. And it hurts. But man, the ones that make it, they know God on a level that I can't even explain to you. Your preacher can't explain it to you. Your elders probably can't explain it to you. But those guys, they can explain it to you, because they know, they truly know what it feels like to be rescued. And, you know, in finishing up, I'd just like to say, rescued people rescued me from a life of legalism and a life of performance and a life of trying to do everything just right, to a life where I can just now freely live for God and freely love that I'm a broken person and that God loves me just where I'm at. Thanks for letting me share.
I love that. Rescued people rescue people. You know, and that's what we do, and that's what Celebrate Recovery is all about. And so maybe it's, you know, wow, I struggled with some things back in my past, but I'm no longer, praise God, addicted in the way that I was then. Celebrate Recovery is still a place for you who have been rescued to help rescue someone else. Again, Celebrate Recovery is not the screw. Celebrate Recovery is not the answer to your healing. Jesus is the answer to your healing. But Celebrate Recovery is going to be a very great avenue that we're going to offer in-house at Leander Church on Thursday nights for people to be brought to the one who can hold their brokenness together. That's what Celebrate Recovery is, and that's what it's all about. And I love David Owen's story, because he's the guy who sat in the pews where you are and where I am, right, from a distance, and thought, well, I don't really even know if I need that. Now, some of us out here, we're going, no, we need it. I know I need it. I've got no doubt, right? But some of you are going, well, I'm not sure that I need that right now. And what I love is that he's the guy speaking from a place that says, I was there. I grew up in churches. I had a good life. I served. He's been leading what White's Ferry Road calls house churches, what we call connect groups. It's the same thing. He's a connect group leader. Like he's one of the ones that people looks up to and respects. And now he's sitting there admitting, I thought I had it all together, and then I stepped in and listened to other people who were broken and said, wow, I've got a lot of things that I need to recover from too. And so I think the same is going to be true for everyone who steps in that door. But you know what's amazing? Only God can allow someone to boast in their weakness. Amen? I mean, that's an incredible, incredible thing. And Paul speaks on this. He has a whole section of scripture on this. Listen to Paul. And you talk about someone who needed recovery. The apostle himself, Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, of all the people who needed recovery, he's the one who needed it more than anybody. So how in the world can we celebrate our recovery? How can we celebrate our brokenness? How can I stand up in front of you and share with you the fact that my mom struggled with alcoholism for 8 years? And say it so excited. How many times have I preached about that? You guys are probably sick of hearing it. And get ready, because you're going to hear about it again. Because that's the moment that Jesus stepped into my family's life and held our brokenness together. And now I get to glory in what was broken, because through Christ, my weakness is made strong. And the same thing happens for you. That's why we celebrate our recoveries. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9. Listen, Paul says it like this. But he, talking about God, said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. And I imagine Paul, when he heard that, wanted to stop in the middle of that verse. It's not even a complete sentence. It's got a comma right there, right? Like, God's not done speaking, but I imagine Paul wants to interrupt and say, but God, you don't know what I've done. Right? Other scriptures, Paul calls himself a wretched man. He says, oh, what a wretched man that I am. You don't know who I am or what I've done, the things that I've committed. I mean, I need some serious recovery. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, because God said that to me, that God's grace is sufficient for me, and that God's power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. That's a powerful thing. And Paul did boast in his weakness, didn't he? I mean, he constantly telling his story of his journey on the road to Damascus. How many times does he repeat that thing? How many people is he sharing it with? He was boasting in his weakness. And Celebrate Recovery is going to give us a platform for you to be able to stand in front of your church people and other broken people and other people who need recovery and say, here's my weakness. And though I am weak, I am strong. Let me show you what I think of as we close. Put this picture up for me, guys. This is a really interesting picture. How many of you know what this is? Raise your hand. Isn't this incredible for those who know about it? It is an art form, an old 400-plus year art form of a Japanese background. It's called kintsugi. And let me read to you what this says. It says, it is a pottery repair method that honors the artifact's unique history by emphasizing, not hiding, the break. According to art historians, kintsugi came about accidentally. That kind of fits, doesn't it? When the 15th century, I can't pronounce his name, so bear with me. When the 15th century shogun Ashikaga Yoshimasa broke his favorite tea bowl and he sent it to China for repairs and was disappointed that it came back stapled together. The metal pins were unsightly and he just didn't like it, so local craftsmen came up with a solution. They filled the cracks with a golden lacquer, making the bowl more unique and more valuable than it was at the beginning. This repair elevated the fallen bowl back to its place as Shogun's favorite and prompted an entire new art form. I mean, do I even have to preach the message? Listen to the definition. I looked up a definition. I just couldn't get over this, folks. I could not believe this when I read it. The definition of kintsugi. Are you ready? Kintsugi is the general concept of highlighting or emphasizing imperfections, visualizing mends and seams as an additive or an area. I didn't put this in here. Or an area to celebrate or focus on, rather than an absence of missing pieces. Modern artists experiment with the ancient technique as a means of analyzing the idea of loss, synthesis, and improvement through destruction and repair. Isn't that beautiful? More beautiful and more valuable, not because it wasn't broken, but through its brokenness. And the same thing can be for you. You see, God, Jesus is the golden lacquer that holds your brokenness together. And he's not like the screw in my finger hidden beneath the surface in which you can't see. No, Jesus can be for you the highlight of your life in which you can show him off. But in order for that to happen, you got to be real with your brokenness. This bowl couldn't have found its value and found that golden lacquer if it was wanting to hide in its shame and brokenness and come to church and shake hands and say, "Oh, I'm wonderful," when in reality I am broken. No. Paul says, "I will boast in my weakness. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Only Jesus can change your weakness from something to hide about to something to boast in." And so my request is this. There's a couple of things I want from you. The first is this. Please pray for us. And I mean that with all seriousness. We're nervous. I mean, OR, we talk about it all the time, don't we? We're scared, we're nervous, we're fearful. How is this going to work? What's it going to look like? Are people going to be okay and support the ministry? Or are they going to be like, why are we having all these? Because look, when people start coming into the church from the streets with their brokenness, it's going to be messy people. It's a messy ministry. I mean, when you start looking at broken pieces, there's going to be some seriously shattered pieces where you look at their life and you say, all I see is a bunch of little flecks. And us as ministers will look at that and hey, we're specialists, right? We're hand surgeons. We'll look at your life and we'll say, I ain't never seen brokenness that bad before. This is the worst one I've ever seen. And yet, we're willing to glory in the most broken of people. And so please pray for us. Pray for our confidence. Pray for the ministry. Pray for the people who will find Jesus through it. Pray that we give him all the glory. The ministry should take none of the credit. The Lord gets it all. He's the lacquer, not the ministry. And that goes for any ministry and any minister who stands before anyone who shares their testimony. It's not about David Owen. It's not about what he did for himself. It's about what Jesus did through him, right? And the same is true for us. And so please pray for us, number one. And number two is please support us. If you know of people in your family, if you know of people who have tried other rehab programs or have other things in their life and they've tried to get things back on track, but they just keep falling, CR is an awesome opportunity because we have, it's a step program. It's got structure to it. And I'm not going to get into all of that. But unlike other programs, we don't just say, there's a higher power. We get to name Jesus as that higher power, and we get to teach them not just how they can have accountability partners or how they can manage their addiction. We get to teach them about Christ. We get to teach them where we believe real healing takes place. And a lot of recovery places, I'm sorry, they don't work. And the reason they don't work is because I think the key to holding your brokenness together is found through Jesus and no one else. And we get to point them to Jesus. So this is an awesome in-house opportunity for those things. So pray for us, support us, and please come and be there. Your preacher will be there. So if you're going, I don't know if I'm worthy of being there, hey, I'm right there with you, and I'm going to be there, and I hope that you will too. But we never want to leave without offering an invitation. And so this morning, if you look at your life and you say, man, I've got a lot of broken pieces, you don't have to wait till Thursday to go to Celebrate Recovery to find him. You can come down right now and give him the broken pieces of your life and watch as he performs a miracle for you. And sometimes it's an instantaneous miracle. And sometimes, like Danny said, it's a slow motion miracle. But God can perform a miracle and allow you to boast in the weakness and brokenness you thought you would never recover from. And we can celebrate together this morning. Think about it. If you need to respond, would you come as together we stand and sing?